yet, and you're telling her from UW where this car is by the man going to want to use. But so today we have Pasquale Solano talking about the vaccine and the vaccine.
Okay. Thank you very much, Yosh, for the introduction. Okay, I will be speaking today about work done in collaboration with Gordon Semenoff at the University of British Columbia and Sugato Bose at UCL in London. And the work basically concerns the detection of Majorana fermions in a condensed matter system through some interferometry experiments. Now everybody knows that, that Majorana fermions are ubiquitous in many physical systems, from neutrino physics in high energy, and more recently their presence is trying to be evidenced in some kind of condensed matter heterojunctions. So in the plan of my talk I will try essentially to tell, one, what are Majorana fermions, second, where you can buy them, and especially what is their cost, okay, when you go in a store and buy these fermions. I will be interested in mid-gap states, so that will be even more. And then, once you bought and you know what they are, I will try to answer the question what you can do with them, and how eventually you can observe. So, the plan of talk essentially will be in a first part, in which I will define what are Majorana fermions, and I'm sorry because that is just a review from usual field theory course. And then, okay, I will concentrate on mid-gap states, bound states of Majorana fermions, arising in two important stores, the soliton fermion interacting system and another Kitaev wire, which I will define at that. Once I specified what are and how can characterize mid-gap states of Majorana modes, I will try to elucidate how you can observe that through entanglement and through interferometry of Antebury-Brown twistato. So, let's start with a simple single particle problem. Here I have, here I have, let's say, the non-interacting Dirac equation. Psi is a field operator which satisfies the usual anti-commutation relation. Then one usually defines the Hamiltonian in the second quantization in terms of the single particle Hamiltonian to the normal order prescription. One very well knows the Heisenberg equation of motion, and that now the Hamiltonian of single particle, as usual I assume that is an Hermitian operator, which may have positive and negative energy eigenvalues, and negative energy eigenvalues are needed if the equation is of Dirac form. Then the eigenfunction should satisfy the usual orthonormality condition, and once I solve the free particle Hamiltonian, I can construct a field operator to the usual mode expansion. And if I'm dealing with a Dirac field, okay, I have to sum necessarily over the energy, positive energy modes and the negative energy modes. The Fourier modes are interpreted as creation and annihilation operators, and due to the presence of positive and negative energy mode, and to the fact that the Dirac operator is a complex operator, okay, you have two different sets of creation and annihilation operators, one for particle and another one, let's say, for the negative energy modes, which are related to the antiparticle. And now the ground state, the unique ground state, is defined to the usual prescription, and the towers of energy excited state can be obtained from the ground state through cyclic operation of the creation operators for particles of positive energy and particles of negative energy. Now, a Majorana fermion can be regarded as a fermion satisfying a Dirac equation with this extra condition, where gamma is a charge conjugation matrix, okay, whose explicit form depends on the representation of Dirac matrices which I'm using, which does the following job. It transforms the complex conjugate of a positive energy solution into a negative energy solution. So once I impose this, it's more correct to call it pseudo-reality condition, since it involves a matrix, once I impose this pseudo-reality condition, positive energy particle and negative energy particle have the same spectrum, and they can be identified through this model. As a result, the Majorana field operator is simpler than the Dirac field operators, because now the field operator is expressed only in terms of creation and annihilation operator for particle of positive energy, since due to reality condition, the spectrum of the particle of positive energy and negative energy has been identified. So again, I can define the ground state as the one that is annihilated by E, and all the towers of states will be constructed by cyclic operation with the creation operator applied to the ground state. In field, the field operator phi obviously satisfies this condition, and since it's a fermion field, should satisfy the equal time anti-commutation relation. Now, at this moment, okay, this is a Majorana fermion. Okay, how can I get it? If I have a Dirac field, I can construct this these two combinations of the Dirac operator, and I can easily show that they satisfy the pseudo-reality condition of Majorana fermions. So, using a looser language, if I have a Dirac field, the real part of the Dirac field and the imaginary part of the Dirac field may be regarded as a Majorana fermion. However, if the story was so simple, there was no purpose for my seminar. The problem is, if I do this decomposition of the Dirac field in presence of electromagnetic interaction, okay, as soon as you separate real and imaginary part, electromagnetic interaction mixes them again. So if I'm an optimist, I will say that due to the presence of electromagnetic interaction, Majorana fermions in general are very short. But in order to observe them, one should then look for environments where electromagnetic interactions are screened. Such environments in condensed matter physics are provided by superconductors. So in a superconductor, since the magnetic field is screened by the Meissner effect, this recombination of the real part and the imaginary part of a Dirac fermion does not happen due to the absence of direct magnetic interaction. And so one can hope to look in those environments in condensed matter for Majorana fermions. Now there is some technical question, okay, which kind of superconductors? If I take an S-wave superconductor, due to the pairing of electrons, I will see immediately that the pseudo-reality condition will involve not only a transformation of Psi star E in Psi minus E, but also a flip of the spin of the electron. While instead, in P-wave superconductor, it is easier because, okay, there is no spin flipping involved, and so the pseudo-reality condition can be exactly satisfied in that context. And the fact, okay, many of the devices which were proposing condensed matter to observe Majorana fermions have been constructed with pure superconductors for these reasons, and I will comment on that later.
Time for the Majorana fermion pure superconductor. What is the expected lifetime of a Majorana fermion in a pure superconductor?
the number of states not being computed to my knowledge, because it may be a realistic situation that I'm being witness, etc. But okay, there is not this electromagnetic mechanism which Garcian intends here.
No, in the sense that the screening is not complete, right? I mean, in a realistic superconductor, the screening is it's there, you know, must have any feedback.
Anyway, there are no, if you want a number, I have not seen numbers in the literature.
Okay.
Neither have computer ones. So, as I said to you, I am interested not only in my Uranus statements, but in what I will call my Urana medium states. So, Urana variants, which, let's say, if you imagine a spectrum, will appear either as bound state of zero energy, or, and then there is a continuum of positive energy and continuum of negative energy, or in some system as a bound state. Now, the first thing that I would like to analyze in this case will be the soliton-feldman interaction, which has been widely studied in the past when dealing with fermion, Dirac fermions, charge fractionalization. So it has been shown, and I will just review briefly this argument, that a fermion interacting with a topological soliton can have a one-two state with fractional charge. And okay, so if there is no charge conjugation invariant, this fractional needs not to be one half. In condensed matter, this phenomenon has been observed in a one-dimensional composite, which is called Fourier settlement, which is being represented here. The two lines and one line are the carbon bonds of two nearby atoms lattice. And then, okay, I call usually a phase A, like the phase which starts with two carbon bonds, the phase B, like the one which starts with one carbon bond. And now, in this picture, okay, I just showed that there is a defective, which, let's say, there follows a transition from a phase A to a phase B, and again here, another defect, which leads to transition between phase B and phase A. It can be shown that in a continuum limit, this situation is described by a soliton and antisoliton interacting with the fermion fields, which are in the Fourier segment. Now, a defect, therefore, in this realistic material, I can schematize as a soliton. The shape of the soliton in general is not relevant. I can take just a direct equation propagated on a theta step potential. Now, actually, said the shape is not, but there are analytic solutions for this shape. This is the usual thing of a phi to the fourth theory in one dimension. I take this soliton profile and I analyze the Dirac equation in presence of this soliton. I do the usual Langford for the separation of space and time coordinate, and then the stationary equation satisfies is this one. Immediately to see, you see that this equation admits a zero energy eigenvalue with a zero, with a normalizable zero energy eigenfunction. Okay? So this is the first instance of a mid-gap state. Okay? There is a continuum starting at mu squared equal to 1, and then there is a zero energy state sitting at 0. And what is important, that the solution is normalizable. So it's a perfectly acceptable solution as a bound state in mechanics. Now, immediately what you see, now in the mode expansion, there is one extra mode, this zero energy state, of which I have to take into account when I construct the second one-dice operator in presence of a soliton. So if there is a zero energy mode, with the zero energy eigenfunction, and here are the continuous mode for a usual Dirac operator, which I wrote before. Okay, this we can skip at the moment. Now there is the zero mode, therefore there is an extra creation and annihilation operator.
which has to commute with all the annihilation operator of particle and antiparticle, and should in addition satisfy this extra condition, which states that is practically a fermionic mode. It's very important, this extra condition, because now you have that the vacuum of the Dirac field should represent also the algebra of this other computational ratio. And therefore, one can show that this algebra has as the irreducible two-dimensional representation, and thus, of course, the presence of the zero mode introduces a degeneracy in the ground state of the Dirac equation, and therefore, since okay, this the algebra related to this anticomputation is irreducible represented in a two-dimensional space. It schematizes the action of the A and the Itagar operator on these states, and now okay, you have two possible towers of energy that you can construct in this system. One related with the state up, and another one related to the state down. It is just a notation, has nothing to do with spin. Okay? This is a one-dimensional case of a spin spectrum. The interesting things happen that when you compute the charge operator and you use the correct normal mode expression for the charge operator, I'm saying it because if you do the normal moding of the, you will find that this extra factor minus one half comes naturally as the constant. You find that when the charge acts on these states, it gives this value, and when it acts on the other states, it gives the same value with a change of sign. This is important for two reasons. Because at this point, one can show that the charge is an exact eigenvalue. Okay? So, in a way, this degeneracy that I found in the ground state of the Dirac field in presence of the solenoid is removed, let's say, by a measure of charge. Because, as I said, these values have been shown to be sharp eigenvalues and not just expectation values. This is a phenomenon which has been analyzed in the 80s. Some experimental evidence of this charge fractionalization have just been seen in the polyacetylene system which I described. So it's quite well established at the moment. But then, what happens if I have a solidon and now I let it interact with the Majorana field? Okay? The Dirac equation is the same. So, like I found before the zero energy mode, I will find again a zero energy mode. It was before, it was normalizable, it will be normalizable also now. The only difference is that this now is a real field, and therefore cannot be charged. Because if I have a real field, it's well known that charge is necessarily zero. And that is reflected here. So I have still to introduce this mode in the mode expansion. But strictly speaking, this is is not an creation in the operator. Because instead of because A coincides with A dagger, and therefore A squared is equal to 1/2. So, this has, in a way, if you want to be pictorial, you can represent it as an half of a fermionic creation and annihilation operator. Half because, okay, it has to satisfy this condition to reality. What? If you want to be pictorial, it's not a negation and creation operator for a Dirac fermion. That is what I want to say. Okay? And that is as consequences. As the consequence that now, like we did before, we have to look for a vacuum which is annihilated by all these operators, but that should provide a representation also of the algebra of the extra mode related to the commutation relation of the extra mode. In this case, at variance with what happened in the Dirac field, one can show that this zero algebra of the zero mode has only two equivalent one-dimensional representations, which are very easily constructed. If those are the operator, the Hessian elimination operator for fermions of energy E, I can construct what is called a Klein operator with sign plus. Okay? Immediately, I can show that this operator commutes with the satisfies this commutation relation, and in addition, that this operator, when acts on the ground state, if I choose plus, will give 1 over square root of 2, 0, ground state. If I choose minus, will give minus 1 over square root of 2, 0. The two represent the two one-dimensional irreducible representation of the algebra of the zero mode are unitarily equivalent, and that can be shown explicitly because there is no unitary mapping which will switch you from the situation which this is plus 1 over square root of 0 to the one in which this is minus 1 over square root of 0. So the states are constructed starting from 0, but the expression due to these properties, one will see that this situation is happening. Okay, I would not like to comment so much more on this relation in this seminar, but it is like square symmetry breaking. Now is the problem, because as we said before, Majorana fermions do not have conserved fermion number, but let's say fermion parity, it is usually which is a symmetry related to this commutation relation. F is the number of fermions, is considered a sacred symmetry, at least in 3 plus 1 dimension, in a field theory. Cioè, in a way, all the field theory that are exhibited so far satisfy this symmetry, which means essentially that if I start in a reasonable theory with a state which has an even number of fermions, no matter what I do, if the symmetry is respected, I will end up with a final state which has an even number of fermions. So, in a way, cioè, the fermion number, when we say, is conserved modulus 2, because even and odd sectors are totally separated. This symmetry is broken by this vacuum. Because one, if you see that if I apply minus 1 over F, minus 1 F is practically this operator. This is minus 1, and this is raised to the power sum over A dagger AE, which is just the number of fermions of energy E. Summed over all the energy is total number of fermions. And from this relation, you see that the ground state that we found in this case is not an eigenstate of the fermion parity. And that, okay, leads us to say that fermion parity in this inequivalent representation is broken. Because the ground state is explicitly not an eigenstate of this operator. The problem can be fixed at this level by introducing a sort of hidden variable at the moment, so another operator B, which has the same algebra of the operator A, and then constructing, by means of a Bogoliubov transformation, operator alpha and alpha dagger, which are this linear combination of A and B. In terms of the vacuum, which is annihilated by alpha, is a combination of the plus and minus that we defined before, and therefore, okay, this vacuum now can be defined in such a way that there is a degeneracy, let's say, which the state minus satisfies this condition, and the state plus satisfy this condition. So they are both eigenstate of the fermion parity, only that they are eigenstate which eigenvalues minus 1 and plus 1. Okay, so there is a way to speak about Majorana fermions and still preserve the fermion parity. At the level of the single solidon interacting with the fermions, okay, I have to introduce a hidden variable. But in the more realistic case of the solidon and isolidon system, there is no real hidden variable to be introduced, and I wish you not say not. Solidon and isolidon is just a classic configuration, let's say, of this type in the model of polyacetylene, which I discussed before. It was introduced by putting two defects, to each defect that corresponds a solidon. And so I can study the Dirac equation for a fermion moving in the background of this classical configuration. Now, I will keep the detail, obviously, of this derivation, but okay, if the solidon and the solidon are separated by an energy L, by a length L, one can immediately see that the spectrum is made out of a continuum, let's say, starting at 1. Let me consider before the case of the Dirac fermions and then the Majorana fermions. Continuum starting at 1 and minus 1, and then in the middle, there will be two bound states of energy epsilon, and this energy is proportional to an exponential of minus L, which means these two mid-gap states, as L goes to infinity, they will become the zero mode that I discussed before. Okay? Perfect. In a charge conjugation invariant theory, the state with energy plus and with energy minus are related by charge conjugation theory. Now again, I have two bound states, so two extra modes. When I do the mode expansion, I have to take into account that contribution. And so, this is the bound state of a negative energy, this is the bound state of positive energy, and then, okay, there are the continuum mode, which are not affected by this, because they gap respect to this. Now it is most useful to combine these two in such a way to write the mode expansion in this form. What is the advantage of writing this form? The advantage of writing this form is that now I have a mode which is centered, let's say, at x equal to 0, and a mode which is centered at x equal to L. Practically, this amounts to superposition on the end. I even represented here. Okay? And to a mode which is at x equal to 0, let's say here, corresponds this combination of alpha and beta, and to the mode which is centered at x equal to L, corresponds creation and annihilation operator of this form. It's similar to even odd and then combination for left and right. Okay? So it's a standard trick in quantum mechanics. Okay, so, yeah. So at this moment I introduce two operators, one which creates and annihilates the mode on the x equal to 0, and one which creates and annihilates the mode at x equal to L. These two operators are defined. A is here, and B is there. And they are usual fermionic operators, so satisfy the usual algebra of anti-commutation. Now, obviously, the ground state, since we have solidon and a solidon, has a four-dimensional representation of the algebra, okay? Of the algebra, meaning the algebra of the zero modes. The action of the A and B operator on the four possible states are these. And then, okay, I can again compute the charge and see that now when I compute the charge on the solidon and the solidon system, okay, there are still two possibilities. And fractional charge, 1/2 with sine plus for this thing, and I can verify the sine minus for the other thing. So practically this thing is the one here, and this thing is the one with the anti-solvent there. So again, okay, I have a degenerate ground state, but still I can lift, let's say, remove this degeneracy just by measuring the charge. That's it. Because when I measure the charge, since this is again a sharp eigenvalue, as I said before, I know if I'm talking about the state up, or if I'm talking about the state up-down. Majorana fermions. Majorana fermions, immediately now you can understand what happens there. What happens there is that, okay, the Dirac equation is the same. So mathematically, I get the same structure of both states. Again, all the standard tricks of quantum mechanics can be done, okay? But this object cannot be interpreted as a fermion creation and annihilation operator. Because it has to satisfy the condition that alpha plus half dagger square must be equal to 1. So again, okay, so I have, like before, a local variable for the mode located at x equal to 0, which is A, a local variable for a mode located at x equal to F, which is now this B, but A and B are now not annihilation equation operator of fermions because they satisfy the condition A squared equal to 1/2 and B squared equal to 1/2. Again, there is a problem with the there is an immediate problem with the symmetry minus 1 to the half with the fermion pi symmetry like there was before. But here this problem can be easily eliminated. Because now I have the two operators, A and B, naturally here, because one is related to the mode, which is localized here, and another one is related to the mode, which is localized here, of which I can construct combinations of states that are minus 1 F invariant. So they are eigenstates of the fermion parity symmetry. One corresponding with eigenvalue plus, and another one corresponding to eigenvalues minus. So, the only thing is practically that since these two states correspond to two different eigenvalues of the fermion parity symmetry, I cannot consider superpositions of plus and minus, because that superposition will have an undefined fermion. Okay, so these two, if one will dream about constructing a qubit, for instance, with Majorana fermions, you cannot do because of the fermion parity symmetry. You cannot construct the Riemann, the sphere, the Bloch sphere. So you have only the state plus and minus, but since they correspond to different eigenvalues of the fermion parity, and you cannot consider superposition. So it's rather than a qubit, it will be naturally a classical switch, because it has all caps only two states. Now, yeah?
So, there is no way of breaking this parity symmetry? I mean, isn't there any interaction that can allow you to tunnel into the two?
Not in the context which I illustrated to you.
So that there could be. So not in the.
No,
not in the Hamiltonian? I understand if it's a kinematic constraint or
I should say, the Cortex is an open issue. Is related to a superselection rule which is called univalence superselection rule in mathematical literature and fermion parity symmetry in more phenomenological context. If you believe in this superselection rule, there cannot be any experiment
yeah.
which can distinguish the relative phase between plus and minus.
So my question was if this is an effective, if it's a real, improbable selection rule or just an effective super selection rule that depends on the dynamics. So you're saying that
it's a two-thread selection. Which has been questioned in the literature, even by guys like Susskind and other people.
Because if there were a way to break it a little bit, then it would be very interesting. Maybe. Because you could make a cube if you can make it, but then maybe the environment cannot be used.
Perfect. But so people are, there is a problem. There is a problem. It is anyway what is called the univalence selection rule, and which states that you cannot measure the relative phase between plus and minus eigenstate in this situation. Okay, now, Solomon, I Solomon. Solomon in the Raphne family are a dream of a continuum field theorist. They are kind of a continuum model of Fourier settlement and things like that. Let's now discuss a realistic condensed matter system. Second, very finished shot. A realistic condensed matter setting where you can see the same phenomenon. And this condensed matter setting was proposed long ago by Kitaev, and it consists of the following. I have a quantum Y, which is embedded in a P-wave superconductor. The P-wave superconductor practically will provide, for the arguments I gave at the beginning of the lecture, the big store for Majorana failures. Because, in a way, it has the correct pairing property, and it screens rather well electromagnetic field. So I will assume that practically the electrons moving on the Y will be describable by a sort of tight binding model. Delta is coupling which measure, let's say, the amplitude for the electrons which are on the Y to leave or enter the Y as Cooper pair of the P-wave superconductors. Mu is the usual chemical potential, and these are fermion fields which satisfy the usual anti-combination relation. L is the number of points of this Y. Okay, so the sum is for electrons hopping from K to K plus 1 over L possible sides of this Y. This Hamiltonian can be exactly solved. Okay? And, it's quite an analytical tool de force that I will spare you with. But for instance, I will just summarize the result. I choose the phases so that this condition is verified. I separate the electron field in a real and imaginary part. I'm talking about fermions. And then I arrange this real part and imaginary part in a spinor. And I write a kind of Schrödinger equation for the fermion field starting from that Hamiltonian, which looks. Now, I can solve explicitly this Hamiltonian on the half-line, and that means, I will send L to infinity, and I will concentrate my attention on the fermions, which is located at 1. And then I will find that there is a zero mode, whose exact solution is given by RCK equal to 0, and BK, separated this way, so it's a Majorana mode, which in terms of the chain parameter is given by this expression. And then, the other modes are continuum modes. Okay? So the situation I end up with is if in this Kitaev Y I have L sides with L going to infinity,
starting at the point k equal to 1, that I can call 0, I have a zero energy mode located in, which is made only of the real part of the Dirac fermion, and therefore it's a Majorana mode, and then I have a continuum mode, and then with a wave function, which exponential indicates that is typical of the zero mode eigenfunctions we have seen in the solidon model, and then, okay, a continuum mode starting at some energy. So, again, if I do the expansion, thinking, I will find that in order to have to be able to satisfy the anti-combination relation for the fermion field, in addition to the continuum mode, I have to introduce also the contribution of this real mode at terms in T-Mark origin. Since it's a real mode, the algebra at the origin is this one, which is b is equal to b dagger, and then the usual b squared is equal to 1/2. Now, the situation is practically similar to the one I analyzed when I had the Majorana fermion interacting with a single solidon. Now, let's suppose that I cut the chain or on the other line, so I analyze the problem on a finite chain. Okay? This is the equivalent of a fermion propagating in the solidon and disolidon background, which I analyzed before. Again, I can solve exactly this Kitaev model, and then I find that when L is finite, there are two bound states with energy, one positive and another negative, and this energy is again proportional, like in the solidon case, to the exponential and ourselves. So these two bound states become zero energy state as soon as the separation is not infinite. And then one state is localized near the origin, and another state is localized near the other place, near k equal to L. So again, I can do the same combination that I did in the solidon and the solidon case, cioè, let's say, write the mode at x equal to 0, the mode at x equal to L, with the pertinent creation and annihilation operator, and I get practically that A is the creation operator now for a mode, for a Majorana fermion of k equal to 1, and B is the creation operator for a Majorana mid-gap state at k to L. And, okay, so this again is the summary of the algebraic equation. So, here, that to show that in this realistic setting, I can reproduce exactly what I discussed in the continuum approximation for solidon and disolidon interacting with Majorana formula. Now, again, I can combine the two states, which are not eigenstate of the fermion pi, I can combine them on a finite size. I have two modes, A and B, and construct these two states that are eigenfunction, eigenstate of the fermion pi, one corresponding to eigenvalue plus, and the other one, sorry for the mistake, corresponding to eigenvalue minus. Yeah? Yeah?
But these states cannot be constructed, right?
Oh.
But you cannot construct them.
I can construct. But you have more energy.
I have A and B. Okay, and then I do a volume of transformation, these two creation operators, and introduce a new ground state. Yeah. No. The notation in this slide is different than the one I used before. Let's say, now the states you have to consider are this up and down. And this one that I cannot superimpose for the same reason that I said it before. It was added at a later stage, and I forgot the convention that I used before. But now the superposition cannot be made between these two. Okay? But now I can ask me the following question. And that is related to the third and last part of the seminar. What once I hear Majorana fermions located at the ending of a wire, for instance, what can I do with them? And so I can ask this question. What is the quantum amplitude for the transition after a time t of a process in which I inject one electron at site zero and see what happens at site L? Now, if I compute the transition amplitude, I will find the striking result that this transition amplitude has a first term which is independent upon the length of the chain and it is independent upon the length of the chain. And that practically equal to the normalization of the zero mode of Majorana fermion. That means, okay, that no matter how long is the wire, I can have, if I inject one electron at site zero, I can have some fermionic matter emerging at site L. This does not violate causality, because one can show in the detailed calculation that this process is accompanied by a flip in the value. Okay? So this is the result that you will get doing the computation of this transition amplitude with the solidal model, and that with the quantum wire, okay, the same. And with the parameters T and mu and delta that we used, this transition amplitude is estimated. It can be as big as 1 hour. Yeah.
So it's a small chemical potential?
What?
What are the
parameters? No, it's the assumption middle of the parameter basically is this one, the chemical potential is the smallest scheme.
That, yeah, the small chemical.
But the small is not never said in the computation, but is the smallest scheme present in this problem.
So what it's adding so you get the greatest amplitude by sending the chemical potential to zero? Or not, or it's more complicated?
It's the rate. Is there?
No.
It's not. Okay. Just considering it's an estimate of the order of magnitude that you can get by choosing with set inequality in these parameters. That is the exact expression.
So
this is a first non-local effect. Now let's consider a second related effect. Now I know that I should now I can construct a quantum wire with Majorana ending modes. Okay? Perfect. So let's take the detail of wire. I have L, separation, and then I have one Majorana mode, and then I have another Majorana mode. I know that when L is finite, the energy of this mode is not zero.
Okay? You see, it's proportional to exponential of minus L. Let me go in this series of transparency, this energy EL. An Hamiltonian taking into account the interaction of the two Majorana fermions can be written in this form, with gamma 1 and gamma 2 being fermionic fields satisfying the usual anti-commutation relation. Now, I want to consider the following process. I want to use some leads that here are labeled by 1 and 2, okay, to inject electrons at site 1 or at site 2, and then, okay, be able to see what I get out of this process. So, technically speaking, I will consider a scattering in which I send 2 electrons on site 1 and 2, and I will be interested in seeing what happens as a result of the process of scattering. There is a way in condensed matter to construct which he is born Oppenheimer, to construct a modern independent S matrix, which expressed in terms of the energy of the incoming particle, can be written in this form, where Hm is the energy coupling the two membrane bonds, and W dagger are two objects which take into account, let's say, the coupling of the quantum wires with the leads. So taking into account all the physics that you assume with the contacts and things. If, for instance, you make the leads, you think of leads like STM points, then this expression for Weibull dagger can be very simple and can be written in a very simple analytical form. At the moment, I'm not interested in this because this is a quantity which is explicitly related to the engineering of the contacts and the leads. Now, I want to compute this S matrix for energies of the incoming electrons which are nearby Em. Em is the energy of the Majorana mode, so in effect I want to do a resonating scattering on this Majorana mode. In this approximation, the test matrix can be written in this form. Which, what?
What is this space? What is E1
into E1 is the electron at site 1, electron at site 2, hole at site 1, and hole at site 2. Okay, because it's an objective Dirac fermions. So it's a 4x4 matrix that is, just names coming from analogies with experiment in optics. So let's say that this is the S matrix. Now, let me inject one electron at site 1. So chi dagger 1, and then, okay, through the S matrix, let me see what is the outcoming state. Right. At this moment, it becomes an algebraic machine, and I see that the outcoming state is this one, which is important because it's de facto an independent way of just giving you the same result that I gave in the previous transparency. I inject an electron at 1, and I find fermionic matter also at site 2 with different than zero amplitude for the transition. Now, I inject one electron at site 1 and another electron at site 2. I use the S matrix, do the sum algebra, and compute the final state. Okay? The result, in effect, is astonishing because you see that in the final state, there are no two electron state, not two hole state. So the electron-electron and the hole-hole outgoing state are totally suppressed. And that is what...
for the hole.
Yeah. I have this injected state, the S matrix I wrote before, compute, this is the outgoing state. So there is C dagger 1, D dagger 1. C and D are obviously, one is electron and another one is all, no? C dagger 1, D dagger 2, C dagger 2, D dagger 1, C dagger 2, D dagger 2, but no C dagger 1, C dagger 2, C dagger 2, D dagger 2, D dagger 2. These terms are forbidden. And they are forbidden, okay, cioè, one, because of the calculation, and secondly, because intuitively one can see why they are forbidden, just because in the quantum Y, since Majorana fermions do not distinguish between particle and hole, particle and hole are de facto identical particles, and therefore they cannot interfere. They can interfere. And thus, okay, this interference effect is responsible for the absence of electron-electron and hole-hole state in the final state. This is what is analogous to an optical effect, which is the Underwood-Brown twist interferometry for optical system. Now, this effect of interference may have an experimental signature. Yes, because I can compute, I can refine my S matrix, taking into account this delta A is how much the energy of the incoming electron differs from the energy of the Majorana fermion, and I can compute the correlator between the currents, and I get this expression. Now I will not comment. This one, okay, is the usual expression for the this contribution is what you usually expect in this kind of computation from in a normal system. This effect is the one which is a signature, let's say, of the fact that there are Majorana in this state and in state. And therefore, okay, one can see that when that thing is very small, this effect may dominate, and therefore one can expect to see a negative sign in the current noise correlation, which will evidence then through an interferometry experiment this anti-bunching in isospin space. Last thing, okay, one can try to introduce spin in some setting and then write the Majorana fermions, the spins in this form. Then one can generalize the S matrix to the spin full problem, and one can say that if I inject two spin polarized electrons in the initial state, you get to the S matrix a final state, which is this one. This is an entangled state. What is more relevant is that it's not only entangled, but it's a pure state, so de facto can be used as a resource for quantum computation. It's 0.16 eV, so it's not high entanglement, but it's more relevant than this view. And the probability that to have this state in the final state, it will be 3.8, so rather high probability. However, if you want more entangled state, you can construct them simply by playing on the polarization of the incoming electron. And so you can eventually construct a state which is higher entangled, but which eventually has lower probability to happen. But this is technical for the engineering of entanglement, I don't want to touch it. What is relevant, anyway, that by means of this non-local effect of Majorana fermion, you can entangle spin of electrons at a distance. Because the two electrons, they are coming on site one and on site two of the wire, and okay, in site one and site two are separated by distance L, which obviously is not of the order of kilometers, but is still different than this. So, in effect, I try to tell you a story about Majorana fermions, in which I evidence that those fermions in a condensed matter can be detected through interference experiment and through entanglement in speed of electrons scattering from Perkinen devices. Both effects are non-local, because that is clear in a way just in the construction of a theory with Majorana bound state, because we have seen as first computation that if I inject electron at site L, I have a non-zero amplitude for the process of finding an electron fermionic matter at site zero, no matter how long the chain. And that is the mother of the non-local effects that you don't observe in this system. Thank you for enduring my talk.
Questions? Your Kataev model, I wasn't quite sure that how it was derived, but if I understood it correctly, it was meant to be a model for a real conductor in a real conducting wire embedded in a superconductor.
It was a quantum wire embedded. Quantum wire meaning a wire in which the conduction process is induced through hopping.
Is it
induced through hopping of electrons?
Is it used to happen?
Yeah, so it is a quantum wire embedded in a pure superconductor.
realistic? I mean, what type of
that, that can be done? Yes, okay. If you okay, what is experimental problem? Experimental problem is to have. It was up to a few months ago to have a piece that you can believe is a pure superconductor. Okay, it was very difficult to do, but recently small pieces of pure superconductor have been realized in Indiana by a guy called Budakian, and he made a magnetometric measurements, and he is confident that okay, strontium rutenate is a pure superconductor. At that moment, okay, one could think of constructing a quantum wire on this piece of material which has been given. Before, strontium, when Kitaeffer was the model, strontium rutenate was just a candidate to be pure, but they were not in the lab, real pure background, which in engineering is why. What Budakian is thinking also is something serious with interference experiments. Once you have a small piece of a pure superconductor, you can create some impurity which you have a vortex. And then a vortex in a pure superconductor also always has a zero mode attached, a Majorana bond state. So for instance, you can take two pieces of pure superconductor and consider this as the wire with two ending Majorana, and see if these non-local effects can be observed or not.
Sure. Completely different questions. There's a lot of discussion of Majorana fermions in the condensed matter literature, especially in insulating materials. Does the type of approach you've described here give you some in connection with solitons? I think your approach was from realistic electrons and in the presence of solitons. Does it give some insight into how that might?
In fact, the last transparency, when I introduced the spin, I was using an explicit model of a magnet superconductor magnet interface with on a background made of topological superconductors. But if we enter in the specific of the model, where we usually have to solve the pertinent volume of the gene equation, which then can have the volume of the gene equation, for instance, is able to reproduce what I analyzed in solid and anti-solid physics before. But that would have been a little bit more technical. Yes.
So let's thank Pasquale.